woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. Same time always, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. And Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. We also have the market down after being way up yesterday. Dow futures down 417. S&P futures down 56. NASDAQ futures 112. Just as a review yesterday, S&P's were up 84, so we're two-thirds of the way back. That would be a Fibonacci number, two-thirds. Dow was down, was up 558, and NASDAQ was up 323. So, Kevin, how are you?
Nothing a haircut wouldn't fix.
Well, get a haircut. Lori Lightfoot did.
If I could get Lori Lightfoot's stylist over here.
Sure.
Although I've seen Lori Lightfoot, I'm not sure I want her stylist over here.
That's the shot across the bow. I'm just saying. So,
you know, our governor here in Michigan seems to have her hair neatly done every day too when she goes on TV.
I'm not axing anybody, as they say on the South Side, to actually look closely at what's going on around us. But if I'm the only person, if I am, God love the rest of you because you're not seeing stupid stuff like I see. If anybody doesn't spot an amazing privilege and class tone to this whole mess, you're not looking close enough. It's all about keeping people home that I don't care about to not infect me. It's not about, I mean, this is crazy. You watch this Amazon situation. Amazon's been up to 100 points 2 days in a row. They have protests from their people working in their warehouses. They're just firing them. This is how many years after the Labor Relations Board, Kevin? Somebody says that in times like this, I'm closer than 6 feet apart, I don't have any masks, I don't have anything, you're fired. But nobody cares, as long as you get your package. I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it. They're like, the whole world's turning to Sergeant Schultz, for God's sake. This is
And you know what, people are complying, I believe, because... Now we have a big pushback. I'm interested to see how this is going to work in Michigan, because they've asked. There's a group that has tried to organize a protest in Lansing today at noon. I will be in a meeting at that hour.
Oh, can you protest because you get too many people together?
But they're supposed to, show up in their cars and ring the campus and just basically cause, some mayhem with the horns and signs and things like that. Anyway, that's at least the first signs of the pushback against the governor, because she has pushed the meter way too far. But I think one of the reasons that so many people have bought into this, so have willingly stayed home, is that there is a perception that this is more widespread than it actually is. There are definitely really bad areas. New York City was bad. Detroit and the three counties that are involved in the Detroit metro area were bad. But you come over where I am, and I sort of live and work in four counties, two on the Indiana side and two on the Michigan side of the border.
That's because you're big by big.
And, take a guess. Just take a guess at the... you should get this right, because I told you last night on the phone. What percentage of the... population in those four counties has been diagnosed with the virus.
All right, President Bonespur, I'm going to say that the operative word in what you just said was diagnosed.
Well, but that's okay. We'll massage that number a little bit.
Okay.
But what do you think the number is diagnosed? Because when I ask people, you know, like 10%, 8%, something like that.
Oh no, it's 0.1% or something.
It's not even. It's 0.07. It's a little under 0.07%. And if you add all of the counties that surround those four, it's down to 0.05%. Now, if you want to say that's diagnosed, you know, what factor then would it take just to get us to 1%? Well, multiply the number diagnosed by 14 in the four county area, and now you're at 1%. You know, now you're at 1%. And we're still nowhere near what people's perception often is. And then if you just take the broader region, it's multiplied by 20, and that'll get you to 1%. Now, how much better than that are we supposed to be in order to get, you know, to get turned loose, to be reopened? You know, what number do we need then to start loosening things up?
The problem with this, Kevin, and by the way, this is not just good radio. This is the real me talking here. I don't see how that sounds perfectly logical, as you usually are. How do you have any idea what you're dealing with when we have no data? Seriously.
Well, but do you think it's 10% then?
No, here's my.
We can start testing some thought process on this. Yeah, I would really like to have the real live data. I would like to be able to test the entire population for antibodies. That's not happening anytime soon. So if we're going to stay locked up for the next 6 months, maybe we can get there. But that's not happening. Assuming it's not going to happen, if you just start to apply some common sense thinking to it, then, you know, what do you think? It's really going to be not 20 times worse than we think it is? It's 40 times worse? Okay, 2%. Are we still going to stay locked down because 2% of the population got infected?
You're asking an incredible question. If we knew, if we had any kind of friggin' clue, what would the number be? I'm with you. We're there. But we don't know. And here's my. We started it from a different direction, like you did, and we'll come to the middle, and maybe we'll get a determination. Or maybe Maddie will say, "Here's the determination." Did you get that story I sent you from? I forgot the name of the company now. Biogen IDEC.
Yeah.
Are they? What I've been reading, and I'm sure Kevin and everybody else has been reading, if you've been onto this stuff, is there appears to be what they call super spreaders. Because this thing is so contagious, the first few days when you don't even know you have it, it's unlike pretty much anything other than maybe measles or something. Measles is still worse, but it's way worse than the regular flu because you don't know you have it. Regular flu, they get you a lot quicker, and you know you have it, you stay in just because you're sick. The Biogen IDEC was one of the few people that didn't close. Maddie, was this before everybody else stopped their places, or was it they just decided to have it anyway? Anyway, they had a big Biogen IDEC, what do you call them? Anyway, a meeting, not convention, but people in from Europe and everywhere else. And people from Europe, everybody's, you know, hugging and kissing on both cheeks, the European routine, which is normally nice, you know, especially if it's somebody from the opposite sex. But evidently, the amount of people from that meeting that they've been able to trace that went back to the towns they were in, well, what was the numbers, Kevin? It was like hundreds and hundreds of people that they infected from that group, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I think we could still have, if we don't know what we're dealing with, we could still have pockets of what I would consider to be super spreaders, which this disease seems to lend itself to. But by the same token, I'm going to say in rural areas, if you were to check and make sure, like our buddy, I won't say his name, contributor to the show, he just got a letter from his doctor, for lack of a better term. He and his wife were in with this disease in the first week of February. Doctor had no idea what it was. We knew it wasn't the seasonal flu, but they both had 103 temperatures and so forth. Well, they just got a letter from the guy, or an email, a letter showing my age, saying, "I would appreciate it if you two went and got one of these antibodies tests as quick as you could, because I'm convinced you had this in February, and I just didn't know what it was." And I've got another few things from listeners, Kevin, that were they saying they have a local doctor they were talking to the night before, and the doctor said, God, these two people died in like January, and I know what they died from, and now I think I know. So I'm not so sure that it didn't get out and around in every area. You know, I'm sure there's a few areas it didn't, but I think they got out and around a little bit more. And I'm thinking that it's sneakily a little more invasive in your area than you think, and we can debate about that. But I suspect your area may be even more than Chicago if you just say everything's fine and your university, for instance, said, okay, tomorrow night we're going to have a 500-person group and we're all going to be shaking hands and hugging people. I'm not so sure it couldn't flare from there because I honestly don't know.
Well, it could, Tom, but does reopening mean go back to the way it was?
Immediately? I agree with you.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to. It's just, but there has to be some common sense to prevail. We
yes.
need to be able to start reopening businesses, and we need to do that now. If a restaurant can reopen and just limit the number of people that are in the joint, that could work. There's no reason that couldn't happen if manufacturing businesses want to restart, they can start doing a lot. A lot of them have never shut down. I was talking to a couple of students last night who are in manufacturing businesses, and they're doing okay. They equip them with the protective equipment, and then have them do their work. And they can't, they distance as much as they can, but they can't completely distance because you can't run a production line without it. So, they're doing fine.
Right.
I think that's okay. Could we get more outbreaks? Are we likely to get a spike when we loosen up the reins? Yeah, we probably will. I can't imagine that not being the case. Nevertheless, what price are we willing to pay for that?
As you know, I'm totally on your side.
Somebody's going to look at me. I know somebody is sitting out there saying, well, what if it's you that dies? Well, if it is, it is.
Yeah.
I can't help that.
That's right.
I can go. You can relax the guidelines here, and I could go out and find that I get hit by a car because there's increased traffic.
I have a question.
I'm sorry if that happens, but we really need to get going here.
Yeah.
Maybe not in Detroit, but it seems to me that it's common sense to do this regionally, to do it by county, to do those kinds of things, and yet everybody is sitting here saying, well, is my state going to open up or is my state going to stay closed?
I think it makes perfect sense, in theory, to open up by county because it's clear that higher dense areas have it much worse and it spreads faster for obvious reasons. And then, for folks that in Chicago that take the train every day, which is hundreds of thousands of people, there's just no way that people are going to get on the train right now in that group. When you're packed in like sardines, it's really scary. But we do have to open back up, and you would think the lower densely populated counties would be where you would start. I guess my first question is where do you cut it off? Because, for example, you cited the three counties in Detroit. Is it every other county in Michigan opens back up except for those three counties? And then the counties that touch those counties, are they at higher risk, or do you do a one county buffer or a three county buffer? Or I'm just wondering strategically how you would do something like that.
Strategically, how you do that is you say we're going to start with a small group, where you say, okay, let's take these four in a region. Let's take these four in the southwest corner of Michigan, or let's take these four around. Maybe you want two groups. Maybe you want one in western Michigan, but you also want one that includes Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, which are a little more populous. And really, I do happen to have those counties in my numbers. And Kalamazoo is still, they're running lower. They're running lower in our four county area. They're about 0.035% positive tests. Calhoun is a little higher. That's where Battle Creek is. That's almost 0.07%. So they're still very small numbers. Do the math, multiply them up to 1 or 2%. It's going to take a pretty big multiple to get there. So try some, see what happens.
Governor,
and then use that as your basis for continuing. Proof of concept is normal in a whole lot of worlds, but apparently not in very many governments.
Governor, your logic is, as usual, astute, but I have some serious issues with it because of what I see in our area here. Here we are. What are we? What are we today? What day are we today? The 16th, 15th?
Today's the 15th. We started really closing in earnest. What, March 15th?
No, it was St. Patrick's Day.
March 17th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're approaching a month.
Okay, but I'm saying, Kevin, is, and again, this is not a shot. Well, I guess it is. Somebody, because they're at the top. Somebody
That's
somewhere.
Okay, I'll take it very personally. Go
no,
ahead.
I mean, you know, Mike Pence will have tests tomorrow. Kevin, this area, I'll just tell you two quick stories from my area here. And by the way, nobody hates us more than I do, right? I mean, the idea that, the good thing I got so much junk in my place, I could go home every night and still clean up and I haven't run out of junk to throw out. So when that does that, I'm really going to go stir crazy. I'm tired of watching old baseball games. Well, I do have to talk about the first night game was on last night. two quick ones. I get a, email yesterday from a contributor to the show. Friend of theirs, gets whisked to the hospital. She tests positive for coronavirus. I hope she's fine. Has a 15-year-old daughter. No family, no nothing, no friends. They're assuming the daughter is, of course, positive. Cannot get a test. Cannot get a friggin' test. The Bulls were tested 8 weeks ago. So the daughter is at home. Now, nobody wants to say, well, come over to my place because they think she's a diseased leper, right? So she's sitting there. Now, legally, she's not supposed to be at home, although I would say at 15, you ought to be able to hang in there a couple days. At least when you were 15, when we were growing up, Kevin, you ought to be able to stay home for a couple days, especially if somebody brought you some chow or something.
We wanted to stay home for a couple of days with nobody there.
Well, yeah. Now you can't have anybody over, but even so, now she can't get a test. My nephew, and I'll say it's my nephew, works for a place that is making the ventilator parts. Some guy in their place, his father tests positive because he's home taking care of his dad, doesn't know what's wrong with him, got a bad flu. Sure enough, the old man tests positive. So the guy came to work a couple of days, and everybody there is wearing masks, so I don't really think it's a problem. But my nephew had, you know, he was in proximity to this guy, use the term. So the guy goes and gets a test last Wednesday, because he, you know, evidently you got to get approved for these things. It is now this Wednesday, he doesn't have a test back. So my nephew, is my brother's concerned, and everybody's concerned, because we don't do, you know, get anybody here that he gets a prescription online or something to go to one of the first testing stations Monday morning, which has the new 5-minute test allegedly from Abbott Labs. Drives us behind over there at 8 a.m. to Bolingbrook. Ah, no, we're not ready to go home. Okay. Kevin, we don't know any more here than we did in January 15th. All we know is that if people go into the hospital sick, we test them. For the governors to read off those numbers, they are as useless as tits on a bull. 30 people showed up, they tested positive, we got 30 more tests. Kevin, that number doesn't do anybody any good. A little bit, maybe. Does it?
The only reason I'll tell you why it would and why it wouldn't do you any good. The reason it will do you some good is that it's the people who have been tested over the last month have been the ones who had symptoms. And so they came in with symptoms and they said, let's see if this is the virus. Right. If the answer is yes, then you tick on the stat column. So, you know, there's still going to be a percentage of people with symptoms who don't go in. There's still going to be a percentage of people who really don't get symptoms in any significant way. So, you know, there's a multiple in there, but it's a pretty steady number if you figure a fixed percentage of the people who get it get the symptoms and get the tests, then the trend is going to tell you something. What happens, however, is the more we get the tests, the more people are getting tested who
right.
don't have symptoms, and now you've kind of screwed up your baseline data. Your baseline is meaningless now.
Well, I would envision
because you're sampling a different population.
What I would like to do at this end, I mean, if it was me, and all of a sudden we had, everybody keeps telling me next week I have people here that are involved in some firm that allegedly is going to have, what do you call, the test to see if you had it next week, a fingerprint test, and if we have the
fingerprint and there's a a swab test that's rolling out today too.
Well, okay, so
cheek swab.
If we had the two tests,
or a nasal, I think it's a nasal swab, but it's the not too invasive nasal.
I think you need blood
swab.
For antibodies.
Yeah, I think it is blood for antibodies. Yep.
Well, so what I would envision is the Board of Trade building, our building, you name it. You, we're going to say 200 people who show up for work tomorrow morning, stagger it from 7 to 9. We're going to have three nurses down there, male or female, doesn't matter. They're going to be nurses, I guess. You get in line, take the test, sit over there. Mr. O'Neill, you have had it already. Get your fanny upstairs, go to work. Mr. Weber, you have it right now. Get your fanny over to unless you live at home alone, you're going over to Conrad Hilton. Grab a room for 10 days. And somebody else, Chief, looks to me like you don't have it. Go upstairs and go to work. We'll test you again in 2 days, make sure. I don't know, how else can you do it, Kevin?
I don't know how else you do it, but if you're looking for data, the first thing you're going to have to do is put together a representative sample, because you're still not going to have enough tests to test everybody.
Well, sample would work fine.
You could put together sample the same kind of sampling that the professional statisticians do, and you could use that as a basis for determining the severity in any given area.
How come everybody, when I said before the chairman of Auburn University sent everybody home, he should have, well, if they had tested the time, he should have tested 100 kids at random to find out what he was sending back in society. Everybody told me I was nuts.
Not because of that, though.
Not because of that, no.
You were right about that. You're still not.
All right, well, that's fine. But, I mean, I can't believe... Kevin, as you well know, I'm convinced this was here in November. I think we're 12 weeks behind.
I think you're right.
I think we're 12 weeks behind. Every decision that was made by the politicians, I think, was totally the correct decision if you were to fast backward in 8 weeks. If we would have figured out that a plane landed in Seattle with people that had this on there, I think to immediately cordon off those people, find out who they talked to, who they did something, and not let them go anywhere, not anybody fly out of Seattle for 2 weeks, would have been absolutely the right decision. But to wait till 25% of the population has it, not know who has it, send people home to infect their family, I think that was stone cold ignorant, Kevin. In retrospect, I'm not blaming anybody for doing it.
Ignorance is the right word, though, because how do you know when your plane come from behind?
Okay,
if you don't
incorrect.
Know, then you're just you're making decisions, as I told you last night when we talked. You're trying to make things, on the fly, reactively. It's real time, and you're going to get things wrong, and you're going to be late on decisions and everything else. Now, I go back and, I was watching that, or I watched, rewatched the interview that, Jake Tapper did with Fauci last weekend. And it was kind of one of those gotcha questions at the end where he's saying, well, if we had reacted, if we had done some of this 2 months earlier, would lives have been saved? And, Fauci tried to, it's kind of a duh question.
Yeah.
But, I sort of wish Fauci had come back and said, well, if CNN's Beijing Bureau would have reported what was going on right under its nose 2 months earlier, would lives have been saved?
Oh, sure. And
Do you think they knew and were following their local orders so that they could continue to have access to news in China?
Well, here's the...
What do you think? We don't need evidence to know that. That's how it works. That's how it's always worked.
But the point is, and I don't understand, I guess if I was a politician, I'd be the same way, Kevin, unfortunately. When those jobs, you become what you detest, is that what they say? I don't know that any politician, clearly not Trump, because he's never done anything wrong in his life, but it would be very difficult for anybody to say, by the way, our decisions weren't the best because we were 12 weeks. He's still convinced he was on top of this from day one, and that's his story, and he's sticking to it. And I'm not blaming him for not being it. To be honest with you, I'm blaming the WHO. I'm blaming the business people who kept flying people back and forth when they knew there was a problem. I'm blaming China. There's enough blame to go all over the damn place here. But the,
and as a result, though, with what you know, you're going to make decisions, and sometimes you're just you're reacting. You know, I'll give you an example. Remember when everybody's hair was on fire about ventilators? There's not enough ventilators. I don't know how we're ever going to get enough ventilators. Turns out we had plenty. They just weren't deployed properly.
Well, plus now we got too many.
And once we did that, everything got okay when it came to ventilators.
Kevin, I'm going to say
we're making
had
more, and we're going to have enough, probably to give the rest of the world.
We're going to start turning them into stills or something. SP Future stuff.
Or something. But the point is that a lot of this stuff is what you don't know at the time, and you have to react and figure it out on the fly.
Well, it's hard to be behind the curve and make decisions based on knowing you're behind the curve while you're telling people you're ahead of the curve. It's hard to do both. SP Futures down 46, NASDAQ Futures down 80. We're giving back about 60% of yesterday's rally. So far, be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter: the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Law and Work-based Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Just my Weber and aboard, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, our IT guy and other things. I have a Windows 7 machine here, which has no more.
Say updates. No more.
Yeah, except it's being updated. Who's updating it? You, Kevin?
Well, I'm sure is Microsoft still updating Windows 7?
I think not. Somebody's doing it. Who knows what? I'm going to end up with White House porn here or something when the thing turns back on. But
White House porn, that would be a good name for a rock band.
By the way, do they still have, remember the internet first started, if you went to whitehouse.com, didn't you go to a porn site? Did they finally clean that up for all those years?
Well, I'm sure they did.
By the way, Windows 7 end of life their support on January 14th, 2020.
So who's updating this thing? You?
So for the last 3 months, you've been running an operating system that has no security patches.
Well, I don't go anywhere wacky, so I guess...
I'm kind of guessing that... Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, Tom. That's not a prescription for disaster.
Let's put it this way.
It isn't where you're going. Some of the most common sites are compromised, or they have one web page that's compromised, and that is not unusual. And it's it can be even things like Yahoo or something like that is compromised. You don't have to go to a porn site or a neo-Nazi site or something like that. One of the most compromised groups of sites is religious blogs. Because the bad guys know that people who go there have a trusting relationship with the site owners. They trust them, and so when something pops up and says click here from that site, people are very inclined to do it. And so it's a great place for the bad guys to set up attacks.
So the Eastern Mass for shut-ins is dangerous.
It could have been.
Oh yeah. Anyway,
I don't doubt for a minute that you had. That you had bad guys out there trying to do something with that.
Well, they can do all they want because we keep the Stocks and Jacks site totally separate. We keep all the PTI security stuff totally separate. So,
yeah, I understand that, and that's well worth mentioning to prevent all of the people who would otherwise be closing their accounts right now.
Yeah.
So they are totally separate, and I know you have standards for how you have to harden those.
Oh, gotcha.
But we need to get you off of Windows 7. They have this really cool new thing called Windows 10.
Well, they also told me my machine won't handle it.
And around how many years?
Oh, I know. SC Futures down 48, NASDAQ Futures down 81. Individual stocks in the Dow, the only one that's up a bunch is United Healthcare. Came out with earnings. They're up 650. Everything else is pretty much down. We got Boeing up a little bit. Johnson & Johnson, maybe they had earnings as well. None of these earnings plays, I didn't do any of them because they were all real expensive. Betty went through traffic, weather, sports, and I'm going to give a quick sports report about the world from 1988. The Cubs' first night game last night, or was on replayed last night.
Yeah, 8-8-88. Yeah. Rained out, of course. 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. This is one of the more miserable Chicago traffic days in recent memory, maybe that I've ever read, because we had a 53-car pileup. That's correct, a 53-car pileup on the inbound Kennedy this morning at North Avenue, due to people probably driving too fast and not realizing that it was slippery because it was snowing and salt trucks hadn't been out yet. And, it led to, a major situation on the inbound Kennedy that has the, inbound side closed at North Avenue and backed up all the way to Addison and beyond. As emergency crews are on the scene there. In fact, the Chicago Fire Department has called on suburban fire departments and ambulances to help earlier this morning. So a significant development on the inbound Kennedy that has affected the inbound side for the last hour and a half or so and shows no signs of opening up on the inbound side. It's also affecting the outbound side, too, as you can imagine. So stay off the Kennedy if you can. We were able to get on at Division and scoot right in. I'm assuming you could probably still do that, but I don't see.
So here. Kevin, get a load of this. We get on at Division, and of course the thing is slippery. That's why there's a 52 car pilot. The first five cars buzz by us at about 90 miles an hour. Just saying.
Hey, you know what? I think I actually am totally impressed. I think, you know, Chicago is awesome. It is the only place where you can have traffic curtailed to about 10% of what's normal. And have a 53 car pile up anyway.
Well, the speed right now
people just drive faster. Less cars faster out there, and so they drive faster. If you
don't find somebody going by at 100 on the Stevenson right now, you're not looking.
Or on Clybourne.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Also, we had a big issue on the Stevenson northbound between Western Avenue and Damon. That has it backed up to Cicero because the Stevenson is closed due to an earlier crash. Not a 53-car pileup like on the Kennedy, but a significant crash on the Stevenson, too. So those are our biggest areas of concern. Off the expressways, one more crash on the expressways. Eden's on the inbound side between Skokie and Lake Avenue. There are multiple crashes that have the Eden's closed as well. So three major expressways in Chicago this morning have all lanes currently blocked with emergency crews to try to clear multi-car crashes. So keep that in mind. Off the expressways, all kinds of spinouts and issues. As I think everyone was caught off guard by this snow that came in overnight. And it's going to continue snowing here throughout the morning. Not expecting a ton of accumulation. We have about an inch on the ground right now. And then we'll warm up by tomorrow and it should all go away. But today, a snowy morning and a high of just 39 this afternoon. Right now, it is snowing and 27 degrees downtown.
I think the term black ice applies.
I think so, too. For our Phoenix listeners, they will have none of this. Sunshine, 83 degrees. Right now, it's clear and 53 going up to that high of 83. In sports, as Chief mentioned, former Cubs manager for the famous 84 team and then later on became the Cubs GM and took the 89 team to the playoffs, Jim Frey passed away yesterday. He was 88 years old. And on this date in sports history, April 15th, 1947, Jackie Robinson became the first African-American baseball player in the major leagues with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And then 50 years later on this date in 1997, baseball retired his number 42 for all teams. And so that continues. And then every season on Jackie Robinson Day, a lot of the players, or if not all of the players, will wear number 42 in his honor for a game. Lastly, on this date in sadder news, on this date in 2013, Chief, it was the Boston Marathon bombing that took place on April 15, 2013. Three people were killed and 183 people were injured after two explosions.
And some of those injuries were brutal.
Yeah, went off near the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
Those guys, were they just still in jail?
Well, one of them got killed by the police.
Yeah, that's right. The guy in the boat?
Well, the guy in the boat is the one they found. And
okay.
He is still in jail as far as I know.
Ugh. Dax down 225, 2%. FTSE down 129, 2%. Kakaran down 83, 2%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei. Was up huge yesterday. It's only down 88 today, 0.4%. Shanghai down 16.6. Hang Seng down 290. That's 1.1. Bonds were 0.68, so we're going the other way. Bund minus 0.45. And the Japan, wow, positive 0.02. We've got oil. So this big deal, Kevin, and oil is at a new low, 1965. So much for the deal, right? What the hell? Which means if you're...
Well, I didn't... Do we necessarily expect something to happen on day one?
No, but I'm saying if you and I got a barrel of oil in the Permian Basin, I think we're giving it away for about $4. Gold down $20, $17.48. Silver down 38 cents, $15.75. And I looked at the Fed balance sheet in the last couple of weeks, and it sickens me. How much money they're pouring in to save God knows what. But I mentioned to Maddie on the way in, the last time we did something like this to this incredible extent was in 1968, and we came out of it, 1985, 84? We don't really want to spend our next 17 years with the Fed screwing up like they did last time, do we? But they don't seem
We are. How is there a way out of this that isn't going to take a decade or more?
I don't see it.
And it's going to take political will that doesn't exist in this country.
On the consensus that we'll never get. And
So I'll make back the decade, and I'll make it two.
Yeah.
We may really have to crash and burn, and which I don't want to see, but
no.
I don't know any other way around this.
Sooner
or later, we got to take our medicine.
Your buddy, who married Tricky Dick's two daughters? One of them married Eisenhower, and the other one married somebody else. Was not an Eisenhower. There's only one Eisenhower to marry. So, anyway, he's a think tank guy. I remember reading this about 3 years ago, and somebody asked him, and he's a conservative think tank guy, real bright guy. I mean, and they said, what is with everybody fighting and sniping at each other, and we can't seem to get any kind of... He goes, we haven't hit bottom yet. Because whenever we hit bottom, then all of a sudden people straighten out. Because it'll be ugly, but we have to hit bottom. I don't even know what that was going to look like, Kevin. I don't know if I want to watch it. Anyway, the good news, last night I watched the first night game. So Big Dan, we split the tickets. He took the tickets to the first night game, and I hit him the next night. So I ended up watching the whole game. So I'm sitting there, it's the third inning, and they have the weather thing on the bottom. And they go, well, it's going to be windy, and there's thunderstorms moving in later. Should be well after the game. And I'm thinking, God, there's Matty Weber and AV doing the weather. the fourth inning, Matty, they show the scoreboard. The flags are, you'd swear that they were wooden flags pointing toward the lake. they had to stop play a couple times by wind and blowing up sand at home, at a home plate, like in a softball game, Kevin. And your buddy, the big heavy guy, Eric Gregg, is behind the plate. Everything is a strike. you could hit the mascot, it would have been a strike because he wanted out of there so bad. So they get to the bottom of the fourth, all of a sudden it starts pouring. But they had Brickhouse there, why does Dwayne Statz remind me of Matty Weber? Well, Dwayne Statz got longer hair.
Didn't he have like the porn star mustache?
Oh yeah. Everybody, you know what? They start panning the crowd, though. Everybody had the mustache back in those days. Everybody had the Steve Stone mustache. But there was Harry, and Jack Brickhouse came up, and but they were... Then guess who shows up but your hero, Big Jim Thompson.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, so he's in the booth, and you listen to these people talk, and I'm dying to take notes, but of course I don't want to take any notes. You should have heard him, Kevin. Well, it's a great thing we've done. It's only 20 night games. The neighborhood can get over it. We hope that when you leave, everybody leaves and behaves themselves and, doesn't go crazy and blah, blah, blah. And after a couple of night games, the neighborhood even forgets about it. It's only going to be 20. We just want the people that never get to see a game because they work all day to be able to see a couple of games a year. And 20 night games isn't going to bother anybody. Were they already making the application for 30 while he was saying it during the first night game or what? And you sit there and listen. Did these people actually believe that it was going to stay at 20 games?
That's a good question. Wouldn't you love to know, as he was saying it, did he think it, or was he sitting there going, God, I'm lying my butt off.
This will be 40 in 2 years. What is it now? Is there 20 day games? Oh, if you count the weekends, there's probably a little more. But what do you think, Manny? 25?
What was the question?
How many day games are there now?
I can probably find out pretty quickly.
I'm gonna say there's out of the 81 games at home that 55 to 60 are night games. Is that too many?
That sounds about right to me.
Yeah, probably sounds about right. They do a few more in the Sox because they still try and have their Saturday games during the day where the Sox are at night. But anyway, all those names from the past. Mark Grace, Ryan Sandberg, Vance Law. Boy, there's a name from the past, huh? Sean Dunstan was up playing shortstop. When did he come up? Was that his rookie year? He had to be.
Well, certainly early in his career, yeah.
Yeah, because, when did Larry Ball leave? 85, 86? Was there no middleman there? Dunstan took over for Ball? I think he did.
Yeah, he probably did.
All right, Kevin, we got to talk a little bit about even Matty Weber and I were talking about on the way in, the incredible seemingly disconnect between the economy and the market. I know I keep lobbing this out.
Hasn't that been true for a long time, though?
Well, I keep lobbing this out, and for a long time it started out as a joke I dug up where I was considering us with the Weimar Republic, and we're talking about massive numbers. I'm going to dig them up here before I outpeep the wrong numbers, but I don't see how we are doing any kind of rallying here with, and granted, I think that some of the airlines can rally off their bottom of a couple of weeks ago because we are doing some stuff to help them out. But, it was not obvious a couple of weeks ago. Look at this. The, total assets of the Fed, Monday, August 12th, $3.76 trillion. The, now we're talking on, August, where are we here? September 9th, 3.769. We've got October 21st, 3.968. We're all going back tonight. I'll move this up further. Total assets, February 10th, $4.1 trillion. February, March 16th, 4.6. The next day would be 5.8 the next week. Now we're 6.083. So we've gone from we're up 50% in roughly 3 weeks. I mean, at this rate, at anywhere near this rate, the Fed balance sheet's gonna be bigger than GDP, for God's sake. Now we're nowhere near that. Yeah, the GDP is 21 trillion, but we're up to a third. I mean, the inflation this is going to bring, Kevin, right now the inflation's pouring into the stock market because the money ends up in there, but you can't fight the Fed. I'm not going to tell anybody to short the market here because you can't. I mean, if they're going to come out with, well, I haven't really talked to you other than on the phone since last Thursday. What did you make of the employment numbers coming out that were stone cold horrible? And on the same press release, the Fed pledges another $2.3 trillion. I've never seen anything like that in my 41 years in the business, where it was that quick right on the heels of a bad report. And what are we doing?
Well, we're killing ourselves. Now, maybe the idea here is, I have to do a field amputation because otherwise I'll die. But then we'll figure out how to cope when we're able to get back to it. But I don't know that nobody wants to just leave everybody to hang in there. I get that, and so there's a lot of reasons why people have, or why Congress has spent as much over the last month as they have. The real underlying problem of this, Tom, is that we've been so irresponsible over the years that when it comes time to really draw down the resources of the country to respond, we're not in a position to do it because of long-term irresponsibility.
Well, what you just said in money terms, and I'll try and, if this were to happen, just out of the blue, okay, and granted, a pandemic is something the government is going to have to pony up money. That's what they do, okay? And then the Federal Reserve is the banker of last resort. I'm not criticizing anything like that. But what I'm saying is that you reach a stage where if you had an economy that was okay and you had a government that had, some debt but not a whole hell of a lot, and you could go out and you could actually borrow money, right, Kevin, at a decent interest rate, and you could say, we're gonna get over this hump, now's the time to borrow some dough. And there's people in this country that have money that would be happy to loan it to the federal government at a bad time for, 4, 5, 6%, which is a real number. And they would turn around and do what they're supposed to do and to help people out at a time when you couldn't anticipate. Okay? But they can't do that. They've got their ass so far in a sling on this, they can't do that, Kevin. So the only person they can lend the money to is the Fed because nobody else wants it. They've driven the interest rates so far down that nobody wants that paper, except the Fed keeps buying it, keeps telling you it's a great thing to bring the interest rates down. So what they really are doing is just printing the money and throwing it out there. That's not what they're supposed to do. That's nowhere near. Nobody is suggesting for a second that they don't help some people out here, right, and at a time. But what we're saying is, after 8 years of the world's greatest economy ever, listen to Obama and Trump, You don't have a $23 trillion rat hole deficit if it's been that good. Because now what are we going to do? We're absolutely boxed into a corner here. And now we're
so. Do you think anybody running for president this fall is going to
no
is going to be the one to solve it?
No, absolutely not.
You think they're even going to discuss it?
The only thing, the only hopes is if there is more of a crisis, which I don't want, that somehow a third party guy emerges. I don't even know who the hell it would be.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I don't see it.
I don't either.
I don't see who that's going to be.
I don't either. But I mean, right now, I mean, we've got the two. One, we either got this status quo or the 4 years ago status quo, which was arguably just as bad.
Oh yeah, we could probably have a lot of fun saying how would Hillary Clinton be responding.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
now,
so I mean, yeah, it's,
you know, it might be different, might be better, might be worse. I think it would probably be under all circumstances it would be insufferable.
Well, Kevin, why can't we ever have a weekend? But I was listening to went through a little of this yesterday, so I'll keep it brief. Leanne Cooperman was on with this guy, Maddie. I don't know how the hell to say this guy's name. He's on all the time. Chamath Palihapitiya.
Do like Buddy Ryan used to do with his Samoan players. He'd just call him Smith.
Yeah, Chamath Smith. They're arguing over whether they should give the airlines money or just let them go under. And this Chamath guy is like, you can't take the discipline out of the system. They just got to go under, declare bankruptcy. You've let these people become a cartel, okay? You set them up that way, so you can't just let them all go out of business, all right? And plus, this is a random shock. Nobody really plans for their company to be shut down, especially for an airline for God knows how many months it's going to be. So the idea that they could have planned for this, I'm going to cut them a break there. But there's a middle ground, Kevin. These guys are Cooperman is. You got to send him money. I'm sure the bleep has a bunch of stock in United Airlines, so he's touting his own position. And the other guy's saying, "Well, let him go under. Somebody else will pop up, and there'll be an airline. It just won't be United because they manage it poorly." There needs to be. I don't want government involved any more than they are, Kevin. But when you set up a place, when you give somebody land for a railroad, then you got to make sure the railroad doesn't put all the farmers out of business. Once you do one thing. No man can do just one thing, right? So now we got this thing together. Now, my question with United Airlines is, okay, I went back, and this is from memory. I went back to the last 10 years of their balance sheet, or 8 years. They had something like $50, $48 billion on their balance sheet. It's a good number. It could have been bigger. So in the last 7 or 8 years, they've bought back $37 billion worth of stock. They haven't increased the balance sheet by one friggin' penny, Kevin, or maybe it's a little bit. Now, this issue, no matter what, if they'd have kept all that money, I still think they need a little bit of a bailout here. Okay, and I'm okay with that, because we're giving other citizens a bailout too. But it shouldn't be a $50 billion bailout. I mean, somewhere along the line, there's something more here than just paying the chairman a boatload of money and giving people on the board stock options. I mean,
sure. You know, so the question is that you're really asking, and we're asking with hindsight, but clearly it's a question that, first of all, you were asking all along anyway. But
yeah.
Aside from that, it's still a worthwhile question. Did they adequately assure as the representatives of the shareholders? Did they adequately assure that they had the capital to withstand some kind of shock to the economy? Maybe not this bad, but could they have withstood any shock? Could they have withstood a shock that was half of this, 25% of this?
Well, that's my point. We should be bailing them out.
Clearly, is no.
We should be bailing them out for $15 billion, not $50 billion.
You know who takes the blame for the financial management of the company?
I think at some point you're going to say we're going to bail you out, but every one of you people, I want your resignation right now, or something along those lines. I mean, we had the email, I don't know if you listened yesterday, the email from the gentleman from Australia. He said Qantas knew they were flying people back and forth that were sick. The chairman made $23 million last year. Now, what do we do with that guy? I mean, they knew they were taking people in from China, and they had disease problems in China. Nobody cared. I mean, what are we doing, Kevin? Because they weren't taking people's temperatures. They weren't informing the government. They weren't doing anything. It's not just here.
And so, they'll, you know, there'll be people like that who are going to get their bailouts, and then they're just going to continue along happily.
Well, it happens like seemingly all the time.
The shareholders have to be looking at this, but if the shareholders are made completely whole, they're not going to care.
I'll use a bad term. The shareholders have been totally denuded between the mutual funds voting with the board. The ETF's always voting with the board if they can even vote. I should know that. And we've got the SEC. If you ever try to throw somebody out, the SEC jumps in the middle and almost prevents you from doing it. Why does the SEC take the side of the current establishment? Because they are the current
establishment. Makes sense to me. SEC is supposed to be a neutral arbiter, is it not?
It's supposed to be.
By the way, before we say goodbye to Kevin, it appears that the Cubs have 35 scheduled night games and 8 floating night games for like ESPN and Fox to push them to a night game on a Sunday or Saturday.
So they're up to half, roughly.
So they're up to half. The league average is 54 night games.
Well, because everybody does the takeaway game is usually a day game, right?
Right. So they're still well below league average, but they've gone up pretty high to between 35 and 43 night games.
Thank you, Manny.
Wow.
SP Futures down 51 now. It's the lowest we've seen it. Kevin, talk to you on Friday, bud. Take care. We'll have Mr. Russell Rhodes when we come back.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Out. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes with us. SP Futures down 51. NASDAQ Futures down 97. Well, you finally did it, Russell. You got Matt Weber over to your political side.
Did I? What, how did he give up on the other side?
Matty?
Well, Chief said, hey, did you check your bank account, and did you get your $1,200? And I said, well, I haven't really looked at it. I don't know. I didn't really know what the cutoff was. As far as who gets it, but I logged into my account, and this morning I have a $1,200 deposit from the IRS.
Awesome! Welcome to our team.
He's on your
did
team.
You, so you got it, even though, because see, I read an article yesterday that said that there was a delay because Trump wanted his name on all the checks.
Well, this is an ACH, so there's no check.
Yeah, which made me, when I read that article, I was like, oh, I thought it was just being deposited in everybody's account. I wonder if I got mine.
So if you
receive, for being a vocal supporter.
if you receive your tax returns in the past via ACH, so you set that up with the government, then you automatically get it. If you get it, if you haven't done that and you've always gotten your tax return via check, then you're waiting for your check to get Trump's name put on it.
You're kidding.
What if it's been 11 years since you got a return?
Doesn't matter.
Then they probably don't have your ACH information, but maybe they do.
Yeah, they probably don't have my.
No, unless you gave it to them.
I don't think I may.
Even if you file electronically.
I work two full-time jobs. There's no way that I'm going to make the cutoff.
But didn't they? I thought they said it was 75 grand or something like that.
No, it's 75. You get the full 1200 in it.
I was like, I haven't made less than 75,000 in a long time.
2018,
yeah,
you must have.
Deductions and all that stuff. You know what?
Yeah, deductions
just don't even argue.
I'm not like, I don't want to. Yeah,
thank you.
I need to just be quiet.
It was your 2018 return,
right?
And it's okay. But it's your adjusted gross.
So yeah, with adjustments and everything,
yeah.
I've obviously qualified, and I'm not complaining. I'll take the 1200. I now salute Mr. Schumer and Mr. McConnell.
What do you mean, Schumer?
Oh, okay.
Well, it was bipartisan. They had to both agree.
No. You're now a blue-blooded friend of Mike Pence.
God, I wouldn't support that guy with a gun to my head.
Are you going
to
give the $1,200 back?
I would give the $1,200 back before I supported that guy publicly.
Look,
we'll never get that $1,200 out of where
you don't have to give the $1,200 back.
I know I don't.
I'm speaking for this side. You can have it, and you don't even have to. I'm going to be like Jack Nicholson. I would prefer that you just say thank you and let us go about our day.
I would much rather that the people that lost their jobs get a big percentage of unemployment versus me getting $1,200.
And honestly, when they first said everybody's going to get $1,200, I looked at my wife and I said, we don't need the. I mean, that sounds so arrogant and perfect. But we don't need the $1,200. In fact, I think I may have even said on the radio I was going to sign it over to my sister who does need it because she works in a bakery and they have been closed for 4 weeks today, I think. And today's her 50th birthday, so I'll probably send her
happy
money
birthday.
For her birthday.
There you
All
go.
Right, so let me explain something. Or you explain something to me. How is it in this incredible world we live in that appears to be very class conscious at all times that if your sister worked at Amazon, she'd be working her poor fanny to the bone 2 feet away from people, in working conditions that if she complains about, they're going to fire her ass. But it would be okay, an Amazon stock going up 100 hours a day, but the bakery has to stay shut. Is there any logic to this that I can... Is there any logic to this anywhere you guys can find? Because I can see none.
No, I can't see... I cannot see how... There's any big old logic between those two, other than nobody's coming to the bakery.
Which is
they're like a restaurant bakery type place.
Okay.
Yeah, but what they did was and they've been ordered shut. But what's really just unfortunate about her businesses, the place that she works. They're right next to the biggest hospital in Memphis.
That's total stupidity.
They thought that they would survive with carryout service, but they weren't able to survive without that.
All right, so the bakery and the hospital, all those people are still working, and right next door you can't work.
Well, no, she doesn't work at a hospital. She works next door to the hospital.
I know, but I'm sure the hospital has a bakery in there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they
because
probably
have a
do.
Kitchen.
That's
they're
probably
okay.
The only place that the people that work at the hospital can get food right now.
Right. So, I mean, I'm saying, where's the logic to this? The Orland Park Bakery, by the way, is open, and I go there every Sunday to get Audrey her chocolate covered donut. Things I do for these females. The
I know. I've got six of them in the house with me right now. So, I'm the only guy here. This is my only man break every week. People ask me, why do you do this? Because this is my man break.
The only bad thing you have going for you is that there may not be a heaven.
I don't know about that.
If there isn't, you did all this for what?
I do it because it gives me personal satisfaction.
Okay.
And smiles on their face.
But you still think that there needs to be...
once every 6 weeks.
With how many females, there needs to be a reward for you someplace.
Oh, three of them are dogs.
Oh, well, that's worse. They probably don't like you either.
Yeah. So, I had my wife, two daughters, and three female dogs.
Okay.
One who is sitting right here next to me, who all she wants to do is sit in my big office chair and chew on crap all day.
Well,
that's who's life I want right there.
Well, what I'm saying, Russell, there is no method to this madness. Now, the Orland Bakery, if you go there on Sunday now, they only let a certain number of people in the place. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a young lady out in front, and you stand 6 feet away in line, and she says, mm-hmm. Okay. Normally, you go in there and take a number, and everybody mills around real, it's packed. You go in there and say, you go in and talk to Tracy or Colleen or whatever the hell it is, and you walk mm-hmm. in, there's somebody waiting for you behind the counter, and you're, 6 foot back, and she gets your stuff, and you hand her the cash over the 6 foot gulf, and she hands you your stuff, and there's no problem at all. I mean, everybody uses their head.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of why should they close? I mean,
they closed because they honestly weren't doing enough. They were not doing enough business.
Okay.
They tried to stay open with takeout, and it just didn't work.
Well, a lot of places downtown here when we first, we're still coming to work. We're like the only people in the building. There's only three of us. Mm-hmm. The rest of us are staying at home, but. There's no place to get lunch down here. Good thing we have a kitchen. I'm cooking. I mean, the chicken joint tried to stay open for a week, and they couldn't make it. I think Potbelly's mm-hmm. the only one that's open. Or maybe Luke's is open.
The Dunkin's not open over there on the corner?
Not in the morning. We haven't got coffee there in ages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's scary.
There's nobody down here. When the Dunkin's closed, there's trouble.
Well, the Dunkin's open in the neighborhood. They have one girl working in there, because I stopped there yesterday morning. They had people at the house working, and they got the little X's on the floor. You know what? You don't want to be in the business of who's hanging up these absolutely useless. Everybody's got the polypropylene little shield between you and the person.
Mm-hmm.
They even put those up in the food store. Who sold people on that? Good Lord!
On the plastic,
block
and everything.
Yeah,
I don't know. You got to think automatically, protective gear and all that kind of stuff when these things happen. You got to be like you got to be like the two jerks down in Chattanooga who saw this whole thing coming and basically bought up every hand sanitizer that they could find within 50 miles of Chattanooga and stockpiled it, and then Amazon wouldn't let them sell it online, so they had to donate it.
I'm gonna pull up before Maddie Weber was born. I'm gonna say something nasty about those guys. This is Johnny Carson. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest their armpits.
Oh yeah, that was those guys. They deserved suddenly being stuck with all that stuff. That was a great example of karma.
Yeah, Maddie, did you ever hear that line from Johnny Carson?
No, but that's a good one.
Yeah, I gotta believe there's a lot of fleas on 1,000 camels. Just saying. Oh, well.
When he was Carmack?
Yeah. May the fleas of 1,000 camels infest your armpits. Anyway, was that ad in the paper, you?
What ad in the paper?
Man with toilet paper seeks woman with hand sanitizer for good, clean fun?
That was not me. And don't even kid around about that. I'm a happily married man.
I know. Some of the stuff is interesting, though. The jokes aren't bad, so I keep getting them across. All right. We've had you long enough.
Sense of humor is the only thing we've got to get us through all this right now.
No kidding. And
when people lose that, that's when you got to start, battening down the hatches and everything.
Russell, how far can the Fed push this without? I mean, again, I'm going to set this up for you. I don't I think the Fed, even though we put them in a bad spot with the deficit and stuff we've had for the last God knows how many years, if there's a liquidity problem, and I keep trying to say this because we keep getting emails for me to go through it again, there's a difference between a liquidity problem and a bailout problem, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And a liquidity problem is that all of a sudden something bad happens, some bad crap hits, and we have a week where all of a sudden everybody's scared bleepless, and nobody shows up in the corporate bond market, or nobody shows up in the money market market, or nobody shows up with the corporate acceptance market or whatever that stuff is,
right?
And but you think everybody's okay, and the Fed is the lender of last resort, just jumps in there and adds quote liquidity to the market, saying if you're going to sell a Boeing bond, you don't have to sell it at 50 cents on a buck, because the thing's worth, 98. We'll mm-hmm. backstop somebody in here or do something. I don't necessarily have any kind of problem with that, but when you just automatically, right now, you don't know if these companies are going to make it. Now, if you go in there and buy that Boeing bond at 95, and a year from now, you're wearing it at 20, I don't know that that's the Fed's role. I mean, and in times of crisis, I'm not sure right where we are right now that the stuff they're bailing and the stuff. I mean, last week, between the buy to dip mentality and the money that went in, I think I read, kick me if I'm wrong, Russell, I think I read $7 billion went into money market or stock funds, people buying the dip because everybody's telling them that this is all over. I from their lips to God's ear, I hope they're right. But I don't think the Fed knows what they're doing. I mean, if they were to go in, even to go back to the mortgage crisis, that's a better example. If the banks are looking to lend money to people, the economy's picking up, people want to borrow money for, Russell's plumbing business or Maddie Weber's whatever business, and the banks say, "Hey, we're laid down by these mortgages, or they're around our neck. It's like a millstone, for God's sake. You got to get us some liquidity." I don't have any problem with the Fed going in and saying, "Looks to me like they're worth 75 cents on the buck." And the Fed,
buy them at some sort of a discount.
Well, buy it for a fair price. I'm not asking them to win or lose. And if the bank goes, you got me there. They're worth 75. All right, they do that. The bank takes the hit to profit. Okay, but now they have liquidity. They now can lend. There's a big difference between the bank's equity and their liquidity. Correct.
Absolutely.
And but then they go in, you got to give us 100 cents on the buck. And then you take the 25 cent hit. Now that just shifted the bank's issue to you and me. That's a whole different, as my mother used to say, that's a horse of a different color. Right?
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be, making them completely whole on losses.
Or even if they paid 90 cents. I mean, that's, maybe they didn't make them.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all. We talk about this pretty much weekly, and what I think what we should be more concerned about is not, how can they do this, is, okay, what's going to be the tipping point that makes this become everybody's problem all of a sudden? I mean, it's already everybody's problem, but they don't know it.
Everybody's recognized problem. But, just mentioned something.
I mean, they beyond folks who focus on this stuff all the time, like you and me, that they don't realize that there is going to be a day of reckoning with a lot of things. And it's not just the banks. It's the state government, the state that we live in right now, without this pandemic. We were on a path to living in a junk bond state.
Right.
And this is just going to exacerbate that whole problem.
Well, the two, this will
really, but what's going to be the tipping point to all of this? Is it going to be, one day the there's so much requested in the repo market that for some reason the Fed can't cover it all?
I think it's going to be runaway inflation, that would be the academic.
That's what I think is going to just start to happen.
Well, that would be the academic answer, but would hope that they would start. But the interesting part, and Maddie has been, by the way, very good at this. Maddie, the last three or four very well, not that all of them aren't, written emails and we talked about one of them last week, Russell, I think when you were in, about this happening, have been from people in other countries. Australia and the other places. They love listening to the show because we talk about this stuff. And, mm-hmm. and you're right about, it's, we're talking about the same subject kind of every day, which actually bothers the hell out of me, to be honest with you, because I don't think, but it's almost like if you ever watch MASH, where if you got a broken leg and a bone sticking out, that's going to be your subject for like a long time. until it gets fixed.
I didn't mean it as a complaint.
I'm saying I recognize it.
That, you know, we talk about it, and then it's usually on my mind every Wednesday because we've talked about it, and I start thinking, all right, well, what's going to, because what eventually happens is there is some sort of catalyst that, you know, exacerbates the problem. And you can relate it to the coronavirus that we're dealing with right now.
Right.
All of a sudden in Seattle, we had a couple of dozen people in an old folks home that, you know, got the coronavirus and died from it very quickly, which led everybody to suddenly start to focus on it, whereas it was a looming storm cloud for maybe a month or two before that. This thing happened a lot quicker. The thing you and I are talking about has been a really just a giant overhang that nobody's even looking up at and paying attention to anymore for, gosh, well over a decade now.
Well, you can't...
We've been propped up since 2009.
Well, can you explain to me, and this is... I know, well, Trump likes to tout everything, but every president touts their stuff. Can you explain to me how, if we really did, which you and I never thought we did, because I always thought that 40 to 50% of the population never came out of the last recession. Never. Matter of fact, they got worse. Because inflation, it affected them, and their salaries didn't go up at all. So I always thought that we became, you know, two countries, which I didn't like to see. And plus, I don't like to be right about this stuff either. When I say stuff like this 5 years ago, and it turns out it pans out. I don't want it to pan out. And I don't want the Fed to fall apart here because you and I see the handwriting on the wall. I'd rather they wake up. Explain to me how the hell in the last 5 years, especially in the last 3.5, we've had, you know, President Trumpeter about it, the world's greatest economy. Explain to me how this Fed balance sheet never made it back down to 1.5-2 trillion, and the interest rates never made it back up to 2.5-3% where they ought to be. If things were that good, if we would have been quote normal here when this happened, we would be in so much better shape than we are now. It wouldn't even be close.
Do you think if we had ended up with a different president that didn't put pressure on the Fed that we would be in that situation?
A little bit. But not enough to make any difference.
Not as kind of splitting the difference between where we should have been and where we were.
Yeah, yeah, maybe a little bit.
The needle a little bit closer to where we should have been.
Well, I'd say the Republic, not just, this is the wrong way to put it because there's an awful lot of Democrats. Trump and his gang is a little more concerned with asset prices versus salary than say the normal smattering of Americans would be. I mean, when you and I were growing up, you're not as old as, I'm not going to accuse you of being as old as me, but I've said this to Maddie 100 times, you accumulated wealth generally for just about everybody in this country. You made $100 a week and you lived reasonably comfortably on 85 and put 15 in the bank.
Yeah.
That's how you should do. That's what you but now we went somewhere, and I'm going to blame somewhere in the 90s, when Bill was running around taking care of women on pool tables in the White House, somehow that went all off. I still think that I don't know why I thought of that, because I still think of that page, the Secret Service guy who wrote the book, and he said that one day Eleanor Mindale was over and Bill was down in the billiard room with her. Hillary was looking for him, and what's her name was at the gate, and they wouldn't let her in. What's her name?
Monica.
And the Secret Service is like, the guy's got three. And one thing I always wanted to do since I saw the American president, when he was playing pool down at the absolutely gorgeous pool table.
So
one of the things on my bucket list, that I wanted to play pool in the pool table in the White House. Now I don't want to. I scratched that one off my bucket list.
I am certain that they've had it recovered since then.
Anyway, but... But no, I wouldn't.
You know what Bill had that the rest of us just don't have? A whole ton of great wingmen.
Oh, yeah.
And his state troopers when he was in Arkansas, Secret Service in D.C.
Yeah, but you know what?
And
Russell,
Secret Service.
Russell, you're either built for that or you're not. You and I, we could never get away with that. We wouldn't want to. It's so much energy. We wouldn't. I never could have 2-3 girlfriends going at the same time. It was too much work.
It's expensive.
Plus, I'm a horrible liar. You know, it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, just some guys they love it.
I love how you got to that one. Yeah. We stopped saving money.
Oh, I know. But I've been going through all this old sports stuff that's been on, and I saw something the other night about Keith Van Horn. So the name Eleanor Mondale popped into my mind because they were married for a while. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was when they were doing the. God, he was a disc jockey in the off season, and then she was a disc jockey. That's where they met, at some radio station, right, Manny?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, they were both, he became the all night disc jockey during the off season. I think she was the morning girl or something. Anyway, but we digress. It's sort of like, if Brendan were here, remember when people you started running long distance, and all the doctors and all the doctors said, "Oh, you people, you're crazy. You can't just stop at a drinking fountain once in a while. You got to hydrate the whole marathon." Blah blah blah. And all of a sudden, people took this to heart. And 1 year, how many people died because they drank too much? Right. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. You can't drink a quart of water every mile. Your body's not built for that. So now we're over the top on this. Where is the straw that broke the camel's back here? I don't know. I mean, is it when the bank's balance sheet goes past GDP? I mean,
if you think of it from a business standpoint, it would be when the source of cash doesn't have any more cash, and when does that happen?
Well, I mean,
because they can keep printing the cash.
Well, but when does everybody's bank account, you kick it up today, and everybody's got $1,300 more. All right, now, at some point, when do we get to the point where, I mean, I'm sure that if, you're a pretty clever fellow. I'm pretty sure that if I owed you $20 and all of a sudden tomorrow the Fed doubled the money supply, just said, okay, bring your dollar bills over to the Fed, you're gonna walk out with a $2 bill. And I walked in the next day and said, here, Russell, is your $20. You're going to go, wait a minute. I want 40. That 20 doesn't cut it because the dollar's.
Yeah.
I mean, when are we going to get to that point here? We got to be getting close.
You'd think that we'd get close, but you know, and I do think it will just suddenly start to show up in ridiculous inflation. You watch things about the Weimar Republic where they. You know, we're basically, well, the thing with Germany that may be a little different than how it caught up with us was, Germany had to pay the war reparations, and it was written in that they had to pay it in another currency. So they couldn't just print a ton of their old currency and pass it on, and say, here, I paid you with all this monopoly money.
Well, the stock market went straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you gotta wonder if it really actually. This is the thing: is you gotta wonder if in our lifetime if it actually catches up with us, or how long can they continue to stretch it on? Because a bunch of us have been making the same argument for at least 5 years, probably longer than that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that.
I mean, yeah, and you know what? If we were sitting around a year ago, and we're coming up with, you know, over a couple of cocktails, coming up with scenarios where this thing does catch up with us, you know, somebody may have thrown out on the table, well, maybe a global pandemic that shuts down two-thirds of the economy.
Well, I think it's...
And that's not doing it.
Well, let's put it this way, Russell. I'm talking about it today, and I suspect you're a decent person, too, because in our heart of hearts, we sort of hope, and we know it's probably not happened, that one of the... Some knucklehead somewhere is listening to us and saying, maybe those guys got a point. And we stop this before it causes a problem. You and I don't want the bridge to fall down because we noticed them using the wrong bolts. We want somebody to pay
attention
to.
We want to help fix it.
We want to help fix it.
Stand out there with a big flag and say, don't drive over this bridge.
Before we go to break, here's one for you. $1 to an ounce of gold ratio, I'm going to say, in 1913 was $28.76 per ounce. What do you think it is now?
Well, it's about $1,700, isn't it? No. Oh, you mean dollars outstanding?
Yeah, per ounce.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the price. Goodness gracious, probably around $10,000.
$19,635.
Okay. A huge number, yeah, because I know that they've been creating a lot more dollars quicker than we've been pulling gold out of the ground.
I got to dig out my silver certificates. I got a couple of these. 1913, $264 per ounce. Now it's $2,300 per ounce. I can still get an ounce of silver with a silver certificate, can't I?
I don't know. I actually found some of those when I cleaned out my dad's house over the summer. Let me know.
I got a couple of $1s. Do you got any bigger ones?
I got a couple of $1 ones.
Yeah, you probably got a $1,000 one, too. SP Futures down 70. The SP Futures down 164. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Russell Rhodes with us. And I've been, Manny, I did it to myself here. I got my usdebtclock.org up here, which is not always enough to put me in a bad mood. But the SP futures down on 73.50. We talked about being back some percentage yesterday. We're almost back most of the way. NASDAQ futures down 169. The Dow futures down 500. Yesterday, just for a review, we were up 84 points in the S&P, so we're getting pretty close. Dow Jones, we're up 558, so again, pretty close. NASDAQ, we're up 323. We're only giving half of that back. NASDAQ's been real strong, especially Amazon being up 100 points a day, as they're the only people that appear to be in business. We're not exactly sure why that is. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down on 268, 2.5%. FTSE down 139, 2.4%. CAC around down 104, 2.3%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 88. These guys are not down very much. They're only down 0.4%. Shanghai down 16.6. Hang Seng down 290. That's 1.2. Bonds, 0.66. So we're down from the 0.75. Yesterday, it's a pretty good move. Bund minus 0.46. Japan, positive 0.02. Wow. That's the highest we've seen that in like years and years. Oil, we'll talk about Russell here in a second, with this big deal. Anticipation of the deal last Wednesday. Oil made it back to $27. Today, $19.64. I don't see how any of these places, and if you have a basis area, how you make any money on that. Western Canada, it's gotta be $2 a barrel. You probably can't give it away. Brent down $1.05, $28.55. Natural gas, $1.62. RBOB, 73 cents. Even gold's down today. Gold's down $20, $17.48. Silver down 43 cents, $15.70. Many weather reports, traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still working on the Kennedy. For those that missed it, we had, yes, you're hearing me correctly, a 53-car pileup on the inbound Kennedy at North Avenue that happened earlier this morning. Crews are still on the scene getting that mess cleared out with the Kennedy blocked from Division to North Avenue and then backed up all the way back to Addison and beyond heading inbound on the Kennedy.
What percentage of cars coming in do you think were in the pileup? 30%?
Yeah, good question, because obviously traffic has been lighter than normal over the last 4 weeks. But, with the snow coming down and some black ice out there and people driving fast and unprepared, caused a big issue on the Kennedy. And the Kennedy remains closed, as it has been all morning on the inbound side. It's affecting the outbound side as well. Avoid the Kennedy if at all possible. We did have the Edens closed earlier at Skokie Boulevard. That has been reopened, so the Edens is reopened. That's good news. Same for the Stevenson. It was closed earlier, and it remains closed. Stevenson northbound between Western Avenue and Damon is backed up to Cicero and has been closed for the last hour due to a multi-car crash as well. Not as significant as the Kennedy, but still significant enough to close the inbound Stevenson, so keep that in mind. No issues on Lakeshore Drive in either direction. On the Bishop Ford inbound side just before 103rd Street, there is a crash, so keep that in mind. No issues on the Ryan. I-57, a couple of spin-outs it looks like, but nothing significant as far as a big crash. We do have the ramp to inbound I-57 closed on I-80 on the eastbound side due to a crash. All kinds of crashes off the expressways as well. Give yourself plenty of time if you are heading out this morning, because we do have snow falling out there, which is exactly what you want on April 15th. It's been snowing overnight and into the early morning with low visibility and slick conditions out there. We'll reach a high of 39 degrees this afternoon. Then it'll warm up a little bit heading into 60-degree weather this weekend. So the snow won't last very long, but a couple of inches of accumulation throughout the morning today. Right now it's snowing and 28 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 83 today. Right now it's clear and 54. In sports, as we touched on a bit earlier, former Cubs manager and general manager Jim Frey passed away yesterday, Chief. He was 88, and of course he was the manager of the famed 84 Cubs. And then as a GM, he took the 89 Cubs to the playoffs as well.
With Don Zimmer as his manager.
That's right.
I saw Don Zimmer play second base for the Cubs, believe it or not.
Wow.
What year had it been? What, in 58, 59?
Probably. And Zimmer had a really good career as manager and bench coach for a long time for many teams.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
He was bench coach for the Yankees, right?
For Joe Torre for a long time.
Yeah. And interesting guy. The, Popeye. Because he looked just
That's right.
like, he looked just
didn't
like
they, Popeye. Didn't they rub his head for good luck?
Oh, yeah.
I remember he famously got slammed to the ground by Pedro Martinez during the Yankees-Red Sox brawl.
And he had serious surgery. He had a plate in his head. And the guy threw him on the ground.
Yeah, and he's like 80 years old,
yeah.
75 years old, and Pedro throws him to the ground.
Yeah.
Now, Zimmer kind of charged
him. Bounced right back up.
Yeah, he did. Zimmer kind of charged him, and Pedro was like, okay, what do I do here? I'm not going to deck this old guy. So he kind of olayed him and matadored him and kind of tossed him to the ground. But Zimmer was fearless.
Oh, yeah. He was. So, Russell, it's very rare that I can drop a fact on you that you don't already know, you being the professor. While I was hacking through the debt clock here, looking at it, I'm trying to give people some kind of perception on where the money supply has gone here. U.S., you know what a U.S. Treasury dollar is?
What is a U.S. Treasury dollar?
It's a money issued by the Treasury bypassing the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
In 1860...
They can keep doing that anytime they want, right?
Not exactly. It's only happened twice. In 1862, President Lincoln issued $450 million directly from the U.S. Treasury. They debt-free, interest-free. In other words, they had nothing on them. They were known as greenbacks. Because that's all the only thing that backed them was green. And I did not realize, on June 4th, 1963, President Kennedy signed Executive Order 11110, issuing $4.3 billion directly from the U.S. Treasury, bypassing the Federal Reserve Bank. These debt-free interest-free notes were known as silver certificates, but you actually could redeem them for silver, because they weren't gold back. But so that's where those things came from. But the reason why I was hacking around on this thing is just to give everybody a perspective on what we were talking about. In the U.S. money supply now is $16.8 trillion. Okay, in 2000 it was $4.7 trillion. So roughly that's almost four times as much. Money in circulation now is than in 2000. Yet the GDP now is 21.5, and then it was 9.5. So it's only like 2 point something above. So if you just do the math, you have a dramatic amount of inflation in the system since 2000. Okay, because it's not like the money supply grew the exact same amount as the GDP, which is where the Milton Friedman likes of the world would want it to be, maybe slightly more. They would never want it to be this kind of a factor more. And now we're seeing it go way off the chart even more the last 3 or 4 weeks. So there's only so much wealth you think you can create by turning on the printing press. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, what do you, as a market, market hund, I'll say, Russell, what causes everybody keeps talking about that the market has been okay through this. I sort of disagree. Yesterday there were buyers. There was never a seller. Nobody even thought to sell. And now today, it's like
they're sellers.
They're sellers, and there's no thought to being a buyer just yet. Not that there won't be in a while, but I mean, it seems like these swings and pieces. None of this news has changed. What's changed? A little bit.
The only thing that I think that it's actually the one thing that I look at every morning, and I really do try to avoid the news about the gloom and doom news that's going on. I look at the Johns Hopkins, the little dashboard that shows us the new cases, And we're in about a 5-day downtrend now. And I do think that's encouraging to people. And I feel like the only thing that I think has changed news-wise is I think there were a group of people that felt like we may be stuck in the house all summer. And I think fewer people are thinking that way now. That's the only big change that I can I can throw out there. But for the most part, nothing has fundamentally changed. But I don't think there's been any certainty as to what the eventual fundamental impact is going to be on this. I think there are more people that are kind of taking my side on it about there being pent-up demand that's going to allow us to do some catching up when things reopen.
And well, I agree with
that. My big example behind it is one of the women in my house, before the end of 2020, is going to turn 16. And her mom doesn't want to drive her to school anymore, therefore I will be buying another car. If she had turned 16 during this pandemic, probably the first weekend that I was allowed to, I'd be over on Ogden Avenue at the car dealership getting her a car. So I do think that there are certain, not necessarily essential purchases, but things that are being put off that people will play catch-up in the second half of this year with.
Without disagreeing, but you can't go drink 2 weeks ago's beer.
Do what?
You can't go drink 2 weeks ago's beer.
I know. Though, so I said certain things. I said that multiple times.
Right.
I said there are certain things that we're gonna have a little bit of pent up catch up. You're gonna have my wife is doing a great job keeping us fed. We don't order in from anywhere. She deserves several nights out at restaurants when we're allowed to do that.
Oh yeah,
again.
I think they're gonna do well too.
Well, yeah, I mean, right, I think there are certain things that we haven't done. There will probably there's just lots of things that we haven't been able to do. That yeah, it's like I equate it to something that all of us that have lived in Chicago for years and years and years are used to. It's that first really nice Saturday in the spring, which I think we had over the weekend actually, right, where everybody is like a bunch of cockroaches and they just all come out. You know, it's like we finally made it through the winter. I think you're going to have that equivalent, but you're going to have it to the whole across the whole country.
A bunch of cockroaches. Now, since you opened up the story, when you tear down like a Cabrini Green or a Robert Taylor Homes in some place, wrecking ball hits it. Where'd all the cockroaches go?
Where they're hiding?
Well, you're wrecking the place.
They scrambled over to Old Town, I guess.
a big walk down the middle of North Avenue.
The march of the cockroaches.
Well, where do you stand on the debate between, even though they didn't know they were debating, between Kevin O'Neill and Mark Cuban regarding the end of this? Mark Cuban, who's more of he's younger than Kevin. Kevin, if you listen to the early part of the show, said we're going to come to a point where we're going to have enough testing to where people are going to know right where they stand. Mm-hmm. You're going to open places up, and it's up to people to say, I'm a bad risk, I'm something and something. I better stay in longer, or I better not, or I don't care, or something along those lines. And they're going to make these decisions essentially by themselves, like we always have. And now the Mark Cubans of the world are saying, and I don't know who's right there. I hope Kevin is, but I don't know that he is.
No, we've already proven that we're not going to do that.
Well, but Mark Cuban in the world is, unless I can guarantee that no player, no member of my staff is ever going to get this ever, I can't open up the door to the place, and there's no way I can have a attendance in here if anybody in here can walk out of here with, you know, the common cold. That's where we are now. Last week,
this is what I was railing about last week.
Yeah, I remember.
Was that we have proven as a collective 300 million person society that we don't have the ability to exhibit personal responsibility when we needed to.
Oh, see, I think we have.
I don't think we did.
Well, I'm not.
I want you to look at South Florida during spring break.
Okay.
And, you know, that was before, and how many, or the or the group of kids from Austin, Texas, that went down to Mexico and they all got it together.
If we would have, we
don't have the ability to. And you know, the instant response on that one is, well, why did their parents? Well, because their parents didn't have any sense to tell them.
Well, don't
do this. There's a pandemic going on, or you know, the 400 to 500 people converging on the riverfront in Memphis when people are already dying in New York. And you know, we proved that we can't do what we need to do without government coming in and saying all the restaurants have to close.
We proved that if you run around with a camera and you choose to not view the people at the Orland Bakery standing 6 feet apart, doing what people ask you to do, if you choose to not view that and run to see the one basketball game in the park, you're going to cause people at home to be. Well, what I'm saying is
there's a way on Twitter that you can see what is going out across the Chicago police scanner, which you know, I usually kind of read for fun because you know, a boyfriend locked out a door naked needs to
I can see
get his clothes
it.
From the girlfriend, funny stuff like that. There are constant calls of groups of people, you know, hanging out in the park
was everybody at Gladys Kravitz now? So what? If I want to have five people over at my place or ten in the front room, and everybody says we're going over, we're doing that, what is it anybody's business? I mean, how did we get there so fast? What if all of us have had it?
Because we need to all stay away from each other for a period of time.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying we were the same people,
and we weren't doing it on our own.
I think the government was 12 weeks late with this, and they're trying to make up for their own stupidity. And if they would have said everybody go home, and on January 1st, I'd have been right with them. But I think they made people.
I think if they'd tried to do that to us on January 1st, there'd have been so much civil disobedience.
I think you're going to get it right now because there's people that
you know.
I think you're going to get it right now because I think they're 12 weeks behind. And anyway, but I'm saying you can choose. I see tremendous amount of people doing what the government is asking them to do. I'm not even going to say the proper thing, but I'm going to say what government's asking them to do. And yes, there's always going to be outliers, but that's called right of assembly. I mean,
and heaven forbid Trump says it during one of the press conferences because he would get eviscerated. This is kind of the cost of living in an open society.
Well, right.
You know, but when you have groups of people that tend to ignore common sense and
Russell, we're talking about
around.
We're talking about a government.
Then the government has to come in and basically, if the ACLU or whoever wanted to push back on the government, they've got some real arguments that a lot of our civil rights are being completely trampled all over right now.
Well, with regards to the masks, if somebody would have come out in October and said, "You guys won't believe this crap that's going down in China. We got to stop this right now," I would have been right with them. But don't between October and April 5th, you can't even tell me whether a mask is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden on the 6th, well, maybe you're better off wearing one. And 2 days later, some bleep from Glenwood Heights says it's now against the law to go into a store without a mask. That's way too quick, Russell. I mean, 2 weeks ago they couldn't even tell me it was good or bad. And now somebody's got to get his name on TV by making himself stricter than the next guy? I mean, this is wrong.
There should be a happy balance in here. But again, when we prove that we can't behave,
first thing you do is you don't send people home from Auburn University without testing them. Because all you're doing, if everybody had it, the last thing you want to do is jam home with their families.
I know.
You're probably
you and I agreed on that.
And I don't know. I think we spent centuries fighting for these rights. I don't think we give them up this quick. I mean, at the very least, you know, I'd rather see Lori Lightfoot saying, you know what, we know people want to get out, so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to go put we're going to get rid of the park benches, and we're going to put out a whole bunch of chairs 6.5 feet apart, mat yourself out. Do something. Don't just say, oh, no, we're watching you, or we're doing this, or... I mean, I, you know, and then I hear, I don't know if you were listening to the first part of the show, one of the friends of mine has a friend who's got the coronavirus. They rush to the hospital. The daughter is 15. They assume she has it. There's no test for her. Can't find a test for her because she's not. Maybe she put on a Bulls jersey. You know, give her a test. We still don't know if we're on foot or horseback. And I'd rather us get ourselves some knowledge here and make those decisions. Right now, these people are just pulling it out of their behind. These decisions.
Yeah, but they are pulling a lot of it out of their behind. But staying away from other people is one way that you're pretty certain you're not going to be spreading this thing.
Well, you're not going to get it. And you're not going to spread it. But now, I'm going to guess 100,000 people in this town have already had it. They should.
Oh, more than that.
200,000. They should stay in. Why?
Yeah. No. I've seen stats where it's like, they're one out of five people may have already gotten this and built up the antibodies and that it spread around a lot more than people think it did.
All right. So if that's the case,
we think maybe we picked it up in our family a while back because we traveled internationally when this thing started.
Are you going to take the test? What if I can get one?
I will when it comes around.
If I can get some, since you don't want your money and you seem to have quite a bit, let's just say I can get some for a wholesale rate. What should I charge you?
Well, you should charge me $17 because that's what they cost.
Where?
That's what they cost hospitals.
No, you're the guy. You're the guy who walks.
They just don't have them.
You're the guy who walks into the butcher.
And I don't. You know what? I don't really care if I've had it or not right now because I'm at home.
You'd care because you'd get out of
the. I'm serious. I'll care when they open things up.
Actually, you should care, Russell, because people want to know where you think you got it and where you've been. They're starting. I'll send you something. Some people are actually. If you're willing to say that, they're willing to send you a test.
If I'm willing to say that I don't care, or
no. If you have the antibodies, they want you to say, "Well, I was in China, I was here, I went somewhere else." Mm-hmm. Because they're trying. People are trying to do the right thing on this. There's a lot of it. Sounds like.
Oh, I know.
And matter of fact, one of the contributors of the show, he and his wife were sick in first week of February. They went to the doctor, and I said this earlier that the doctor sent them an email saying, go take the test. I didn't know what you guys had. I'm convinced you had this. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we need to find out. If we didn't do so good in the beginning end of this, let's do well on the end of it. Let's see where it came from. I was stunned when I read the other day that the particular strain in New York went through Europe first. That's how far behind the curve we were in New York. Went from China to Europe. And in the Europe, most of the people in New York, their particular strain, although it's 99% the same thing, they can tell that strain came from Europe and not directly from China.
Oh, it came from London.
Well, I'm saying.
There's so many people going back and forth from London to New York every day.
But it's still, there had to be a little bit of a lag between China to Europe to New York, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm saying, I think we should learn as much as we can about this because as Lou says, this might not be the big one. This might be a trial run.
Oh, yeah. This is the fourth thing like this we've had in, 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, have you been reading about how similar they all are?
And they've gotten worse and worse. You know, the one thing that's more likely than not is that they all seem to have originated from the same part of the world.
Yeah, because people are probably closer to animals there.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, did you see did I send you the thing yesterday about the little guy who was, let me see if I can dig this one up. What was that, Matt, did you read that thing? What was the name of the little animal you think it came from now? How was that little thing? A little thing that curls up. It's the only mammal with scales. You know what's interesting?
No idea.
I sent it to you. Dig into your email, Matt. You'll find the damn little guy. But now they're saying that what happens is, it's amazing what you read. That if say something came, they think this original virus came from a bat, correct?
Right.
But they don't think it came directly from a bat to a human, that it had to go someplace else first.
Yeah, there were, one of these viruses was a bat bit a camel and somebody got it from the camel.
Right. Well, this one, when it went, because even the SARS was a bat to something else, somehow or another, things don't come directly here from, who the hell knows why. But anyway, they just, you know, but these things are, it's not going to be the end one, but I think they're going to probably find that some of the vaccine is going to be somewhat similar to the SARS and the MERS, because this thing's pretty similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a deviation. It's just, and I know it's more serious, but it's like the flu virus. The flu virus mutates a little bit from year to year.
Well, that's right, but...
And this more deadly virus is mutating, maybe not from year to year, but over time.
All right, so what do you make of... We only got a minute.
The only way that it survives is, you know, by mutating, because we come up with ways to kill off the one that we know.
All right, we got 45 seconds. The market is now down exactly in the spoos what it was up yesterday. What in God name does that tell you? Please tell me, because I got to do some stuff for my clients today.
It basically is telling you that people know just as much about the where the market's going to go as the progression of the disease. Does that help you?
Well,
I know that doesn't help.
No,
you, but I think it's what we're actually going to start seeing, starting with yesterday and working through the next 2 or 3 weeks. We've had a quiet period out of companies, and now they're going to start reporting their earnings.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what they say as far as what they believe is going to happen in the economy for the next few weeks, a few months, is going to drive what happens to stocks.
Well, I got Citigroup down $1.74, so some of the banks are all down today. So, Russell, thank you very much.
You betcha.
Next Wednesday, if not before, buddy, take care of yourself. SP3 is down 84.25, almost the exact same number we were up yesterday. Like I said, I don't know what that tells me. Babe, back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.